Well, our scripture for our sermon this morning is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. If you'd like to turn there with me at this time, 1 Samuel 16 and verses 14 through 23. This is just the second week now in our new series on David and Saul in the Bible. Last week we kicked it off. We looked at David's anointing and we saw how God looks at the heart. We tend to look in the outside, right? But God looks at the heart. That was last week. Now, today's passage, we want to see how God used David to help Saul find relief in his distress. How God used David to help Saul find relief in his distress. The message is going to be verses 14 through 23, but we'll just read verses 14 through 17 as we get started this morning. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Now, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these verses and the verses following, I pray that you would indeed speak to us by your Spirit. This is your word, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. You guys do remember that commercial. Okay, I didn't know if I was the only one or not. Old commercial, right, for Alka-Seltzer. Some of you younger ones are going, "Oh, what's that all about?" Right? Take two. You know, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Right? Some of you, I see some recognition, right? Take two Alka-Seltzer. Call me in the morning. You know. So that was a commercial for relief, for finding relief for your stomach. So that's Alka-Seltzer, right? Where do you go to find relief for your life? Okay, that's the bigger question. When life is hard and you are in distress, where do you find relief? And unfortunately, when we are in distress, we often seek relief in the wrong places. And oftentimes we look for relief in pills or in the bottle, in video games, in shopping or TV. Now, there are times when we're under such mental distress that it is fine and appropriate to take medication under the care of a doctor. But we shouldn't be looking to medicate the normal stresses of life. You know, we live in a crazy world. There's so much trouble and distress. How do you deal with the stresses in your life? When you're in distress, how do you find relief? And that's what today's passage is all about. And the answer is not found in pills or the bottle, or shopping or TV. When you're in distress, you need to find your relief in God. God is there. God cares for you. God will help you. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out to follow along in the message. But let's begin now as we start talking about dealing with distress. Dealing with distress. And the very first step in dealing with distress is knowing that God is sovereign over your situation. God is in control. He is sovereign over your situation, whatever that may be. Look at verse 14 with me. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Now last week in verse 13, we saw the Spirit of God came on David. Now we go forward one verse, verse 14, and we see the Spirit of God leaves Saul. God is sovereign over your situation. God is always working. Sometimes he intervenes directly. He told Samuel, go and anoint David. He's going to be the new king. That's a direct intervention. Sometimes God works less directly, but he's still working, overseeing people and events. And we're going to see that in today's passage as God works to bring David into Saul's courts. And here in verse 14, God is sovereign even over Saul's distress. Verse 14 tells us, why was Saul distressed? Says, because of an evil spirit from the Lord. Now, we read that verse at first, we get a little confused, don't we? We say, that doesn't sound like God sending an evil spirit. What's that about? God doesn't do anything wrong or evil, right? Well, you're right. God does not do anything wrong or evil. So therefore, God, in allowing this evil spirit to distress Saul, we know that God was not doing anything wrong or evil. God doesn't do wrong. Now, the word that's translated evil in this verse, this evil spirit, it's a word that can also simply mean bad or harmful, or perhaps in this context, troubling. A troubling spirit, a spirit that stirred up Saul and troubled him. That word for tormented, we read that word, we think tortured, right? But it's really a word that can mean troubled, dismayed, terrified, even incapacitated. So I think we should understand this as a spirit, yes, coming from God, right? God allowed the spirit to come, but the spirit had the effect of troubling Saul. It caused him great fear, dismay. It was making him difficult to function. But it is a spirit from the Lord, and therefore we know that it is part of God's divine plan. In this case, it was part of God's divine punishment for Saul's stubbornness and his rebellion. But we're also going to see it's part of God's plan to get David into the palace. God is working. God is sovereign. God says this in Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is not the author of evil, but God is sovereign over evil. And if you stop to think about that, the fact that God is in control, even when bad things are happening, that should bring us great comfort during times of distress. God is sovereign. In fact, when you are a believer in Christ, it will bring you an even greater comfort, because you know that the sovereign God of the universe is also your heavenly Father. And that's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 from the Sermon on the Mount, he says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The pagans, in other words, those who don't know Christ, those who don't know God, they run after all those things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God is not only sovereign, he's your heavenly Father. So that's our first step with dealing in distress. Know that God is sovereign over your situation. And then secondly, seek good and healthy solutions. We already looked at some unhealthy solutions earlier, but seek good and healthy solutions. Look at what happens next. Back to 1 Samuel 16, now verses 15 through 17. Saul's attendant said to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better. So Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well and bring him to me. So here the proposed solution was to find someone to play music for Saul when he was in distress. And you know what? That's a good solution. That's a great solution. When you are in distress, go to God and his gifts instead of sin and its snares. Let me say that again. When you are in distress, go to God and his gifts instead of sin and its snares. Sin and its snares, they're only going to bring you temporary relief. They're never going to bring you lasting satisfaction. And you know what? When the temporary relief is over, you're only going to find yourself worse off than before. So when you're in distress, seek good and healthy solutions. Go to God and his gifts. And one of God's greatest gifts for bringing relief is music. That's one of the reasons God created music, was to help us and soothe us and calm us. Psalm 33 says this, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Martin Luther once said, next to the word of God, music deserves the highest praise. Because Luther understood that there's a healing power in music. It's why God gave us a whole book of songs in the Bible, right? The book of Psalms. It's not only a whole book of songs, it's the longest book in the Bible, and it's just song after song after song. So when you are in distress, one good solution, one good and healthy solution, play some music. And especially music that will Focus your heart and your attention upon the Lord. Music can have a healing and calming effect on your soul. Well, what are some other good and healthy solutions? Proverbs 27, verse 9 says this, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and this is the point of the verse now, in the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. When you're in distress, don't isolate yourself. Don't go into hiding. Get together with other people. Talk with your friends. Tell them what's going on. Let them help and encourage you. That's a good and healthy solution. That's a good gift from God. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7 says this, light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. A lot of times when people are depressed or distressed, what do? We close the curtains and we dim the lights. You know, there's a reason why we call it going to a dark place, right? We're going to a dark place inside and we try to match the environment to that. Let me tell you, when you're in distress, don't do that, okay? Don't hide in the dark. Open those curtains first thing in the morning, whether you feel like it or not. Turn on the lights. Get outside. Get into the sunshine. Take advantage of God's good gifts and the healing power of light and sunlight. And then in the midst of all of God's good gifts and good and healthy solutions, don't forget the spiritual side of things. That's really where we should start, right? We read from Philippians 4 earlier this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't forget to pray. There is great power in prayer. That's what Saul needed the most. The music's going to help him. But that's really what Saul needed the most, and unfortunately, he didn't go to the Lord in prayer. So our passage today begins with Saul in distress. God's spirit has left Saul. Now Saul has this evil spirit from the Lord troubling him instead. His attendants propose a wise solution. Find a person skilled in the harp. He can play for Saul when those bad moods hit. He can play for Saul and make him feel better. So these are verses that teach us about dealing with distress. Know that God is sovereign. Even over the distressful situations in your life, seek good and healthy solutions. Seek God and his gifts, not sin and its snares. Now, the next section in our passage, verses 18 through 20, teaches us about preparing for service. And we're going to see how this all ties in together when we get to the last part of the message, but this also ties into finding relief. So look at verse 18 with me now. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. So one of Saul's servants speaks up. I know a guy, right? He knows a guy. And providentially, this man has run into David before. And apparently, David left a good impression. David plays the harp well. He's brave. He's a warrior. He speaks well. He presents himself well. Most important of all, God is with him. Saul's impressed. He sends messengers to Jesse, David's father, asking for David to enter his service. There are three things we can learn from this passage about preparing for service. First of all, you should develop your talents and your skills for God's glory. Whatever those are, we're all gifted and talented in a different way. Develop your talents and your skills for God's glory. What was one of David's talents? David was skilled at playing the harp. Now, clearly, David was gifted from God with music. But you know what? David also had to put in the work, right? You don't get skilled at playing your instrument. You don't become a skillful musician just by looking at your instrument. You don't become a skillful musician by buying the most expensive instrument you can find and setting it up on a display and just looking at it every day. No, you don't get that, right? You got to practice, right? David worked hard, and he developed his skills of music for God's glory. And God can also use your talents and your skills to serve him and to serve others. And so he wants you to develop your talents and skills for him. Remember Jesus' parable about the talents, right? We read this, Matthew 25. The man who had received the five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Jesus approved of the man who used his talents well and developed them further. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whatever you do, whatever, do it all for the glory of God. How do you prepare for service to others? First of all, develop your talents and skills for God's glory. Work hard at it. Work hard at it out of love for God. Secondly, maintain a good reputation with God and others. Maintain a good reputation. That is going to bring you opportunities for service. David had a good reputation. This man who'd run into David said, he's a brave man. He's a warrior. That shows that some time had passed, right? From when last week when David was first anointed as a young teen. David's not a fighting man yet, but perhaps his exploits in protecting the sheep from the bear and the lion, we'll learn more about that in chapter 17. Perhaps those exploits have become known, but David has a pretty impressive resume here, doesn't he? He's a musician. He plays the harp well. He's brave. He's courageous. He's well-spoken. He presents himself well. And the Lord is with him. We're going to see that phrase again and again in reference to David throughout 1 Samuel. The Lord is with him. It's a major theme in this section of 1 Samuel. And it's really presented as the main reason why David advanced while Saul regressed. Because the Lord is with David. Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Investor Warren Buffett once said, it takes 20 years to build a reputation and only 5 minutes to ruin it. And then he said, if you think about that, you will do things differently. How do you prepare for service? First of all, you develop your talents, your skills for God's glory. You maintain a good reputation with God and other people. And then 3, just get ready. You've been preparing. Be ready for those opportunities to serve. Verses 19 and 20 now, 1 Samuel 16. Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. Well, that's interesting. Last week, David was anointed to be the future king of Israel. And what did he do after that? He didn't just sit back and go, I'm going to be the king. No, he went back to working with the sheep. Went back to tending sheep. He went back to work. He knew that God would make things happen in his time. And he served faithfully behind the scenes while he waited for God. It's like in sports, if you're playing sports but you're not the starter, you spend a lot of time on the bench, don't you? It's not fun, but you keep working and practicing and developing your skills because you know that you need to be ready the moment the coach calls on you. And you want to be sharp and skilled and prepared. Well, David's back tending the sheep. He's being faithful to his tasks when suddenly he's called into the king's service. Once again, notice God's sovereignty at work here. Back in verse 12 last week, God knowingly chooses David as king. Here now in verse 19, Saul unwittingly chooses David to enter his service. We see God's behind it all. God is sovereign. I like what A.W. Pink says here. He says, God opened the door into the palace without David having to force or even so much as knock upon it. God just opened the door for David to come into the palace where he would be king. You need to be ready for opportunities to serve. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, be prepared in season and out of season. You never know when God is going to call you. Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. So you need to be faithful in the little things so that God can call you to the greater things. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, a little thing is a little thing, but faithfulness in little things, that is a great thing. Prepare for service by developing your talents and skills, maintaining a good reputation, being ready for the opportunities to serve that God will bring your way. So we talked about dealing with distress, preparing for service. Now let's bring it all together. See how all of this ties together now as we talk about being a channel of blessing. You see, the whole point of preparing for service is so that God can use you to serve Him and those around you. The whole point of receiving God's blessings is so that you can pass those blessings on to those around you. And there are a number of things we want to discuss from these final verses in the passage. First of all, serve well where God puts you. Serve well wherever God puts you. Verses 21 and 22. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. And then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. And so here, David and Saul meet for the first time. Okay? And Saul immediately, he likes David. In fact, the text literally says Saul loved David. He loved David. He even promoted and made him one of his armor bearers. In fact, Saul is so pleased with David's service. David is serving so well where God has put him. David's not king yet. He's been anointed to be future king. Now he's just an armor bearer, but he serves so well, Saul decides to keep him on. And so David's temp job just became a full-time gig. Why? Because he's faithful. He's serving where God's put him. David served well when he was still tending sheep back at his house. David served well when he was called into the king's service. Proverbs 22:29 says this, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. That literally happened to David, didn't it? David had prepared himself for service, and God promoted him to serve the king. And this is true in all areas of life. 1 Timothy 3:13 in the New Testament says this about deacons, those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus. And whether you are a deacon or whatever your tasks, serve well where God puts you. And then be a channel of God's blessing to others. Verse 23, our last verse now in the passage. Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. And then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better. And the evil spirit would leave him. Relief would come to Saul. The word that's translated relief there, it's a word that means to be refreshed, to be wide open or spacious, to breathe easily. When you are in distress, wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like to be refreshed? To feel like you have plenty of room to maneuver? To breathe easy? You see, David was a channel of blessing to Saul. And God calls us to be channels of blessing to each other. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Never underestimate the power of a kind word to refresh other people around you. Romans 12, verses 12 and 13 says this, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. There you are setting the example. Then what do? Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Be generous, loving, and kind. God's blessed you. Now you be a channel of blessing to other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says this, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You know what that verse tells us? It tells us that with God, nothing is wasted. With God, nothing is ever wasted. In God's hands, the troubles that you experience today become opportunities now to help other people in their sufferings. There's a song I like. The song's called Blessing in Disguise. And the opening verses talk about how God takes the trials in our lives and turns them to good. And so those trials that we're experiencing, they really are a blessing in disguise. But I love the last verse the best, because it takes that phrase and now and it turns it around in an unexpected way. And it goes like this. It says, after you've been broken, you may not realize that you are grace to the brokenhearted and a blessing. You are a blessing. You are a blessing in disguise. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And that verse, folks, right there, that's the key that brings us all together now. When you go to God for relief, when you deal with distress in your own life in good and healthy ways, going to God and his gifts, when you prepare yourself for service, when you make yourself a channel of God's blessings to others, when you do all that, guess what? You find also relief for yourself. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. In other words, you are not blessed to be blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. So don't hold all of God's blessings for yourself. Be a channel of God's blessings, not a reservoir. And when you become a channel of God's blessings to others, then you also will find that relief, that refreshing, wide open spaces, plenty of room to breathe. Of course, Jesus is God's greatest channel of blessing to us. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you could be restored to right relationship with God. He is the only way to God. He is the Savior. All of God's blessings flow to us through Christ. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Ultimately, this passage in 1 Samuel teaches us that when you are in distress, you need to find your relief in God. God knows all about your distress. He cares about you. God is sovereign over the details of your life. So seek good and healthy solutions. Go to God and his gifts, not to sin in its snares. Prepare to serve others for God. Be a channel of God's blessing to others. And when you find relief in God, not only are you refreshed, God uses you to refresh others. Everyone wins. It's the way God designed it. And in all your hurting, in all your suffering, in all your brokenness, you will find that Jesus, through Jesus, you too can be grace to the brokenhearted, and that you are a blessing, that you are a blessing in disguise. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these verses of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, how you were working in Saul's life and David's life to achieve your plan. But Lord, we thank you for the good instruction that we learn from your word to help us today. For God, you are working in our lives. You want to work in our lives to bring us relief, refreshing, and comfort, so we can be blessed and a blessing. Lord, make these things true in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.